Christmas is a time about bringing people together, isn't it? We're looking forward to that, or maybe not so much this year, but we do it as families, we do it with friends, we come together, we enjoy one another's company, we catch up on what's been happening, and it reminds us that we're not alone in the world. Where we have missed that in recent times, I'm sure with me, you look forward to it again this year. Now, I would contend with you that the reason we enjoy such things is because God did it first. God did it first. Think of Christmas. God brings together in the Nativity story all kinds of people, and he brings them around Jesus. And he reminds them, and he reminds us, that we're not alone. Here's one person who's put some words to that. James Edwards writes, got that going, Ian? The new community of the manger results in the coming together of disparate groups who hear and speak, marvel and ponder, glorify and praise, and return to useful work in the world. I'll give you a second on that again. God bringing people together for good reasons and bringing them together around Jesus. Part of that new manger community are the shepherds. Now, that's not only a farming term, but a biblical one as well. Let me tell you about that this morning. God refers to himself as a shepherd all the time. Here's one from Isaiah 40. The sovereign Lord comes with power. He rules with a mighty arm. See, his reward is with him. His recompense accompanies him. He tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms, and he carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those who have young. Isn't that lovely? That's God. Mention as well there of the mighty arm, the strong arm. God can comfort the way he does because he is strong. It's like that of the shepherd carrying his sheep. That's also a picture of intimacy. The intimacy that God has with his people, he keeps them in the strong arm, the carrying arm next to his heart. So when you and I come to the birth of Jesus being announced in Luke's gospel, who does God tell about the birth first? The shepherds. The shepherds. Let's talk about the shepherds. This is such a well-known passage of the Christmas story. We might need to work a little bit harder this morning to pay attention. Please don't let familiarity rob you of this morning. Because one of the results of being too familiar with the story is that we lose its impact. Shepherds were not good in the first century. That's the first thing we need to remember. They were not good at all. They were treated with great suspicion. They were a long time away from society, out in their fields tending the sheep. And that meant that they were relatively unknown. They were strangers to the community. And in the ancient world, because of all of that, they were disqualified from the courts. You could not hear the testimony of a shepherd in court. He was not to be believed. Isn't that crazy? They had this bad reputation. So when Luke shifts the action from the family of Joseph, Mary, and Jesus to the shepherds, you're supposed to sit up and take notice. That can't be right. Look, you've made a mistake here. The kings and the princes, they'll be the ones to hear about Jesus first, not these dirty, shady shepherds. But it is right. The fact that the shepherds are visited by the angel and then the angelic choir is evidence of what had been promised for so long. Good news to the poor. And the shepherds more than fit into that category. And so do we. in light of who God is, the shepherd king with the strong arm of comfort and protection, you and I are the lowly sheep with all of our fears and our wobbly legs and our needs. In short, folks, this is our good news. What is the news? Well, the angel said, "Don't be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born. He is the Messiah, the Lord." Notice the contrast there between fear and joy. Do you see that? Why joy? Because of this. We have joy because Jesus is not just a baby. He is a Savior. Someone has come to rescue us from our sins. Remember, that's what the name Jesus means. And we have joy because he's Messiah, the Lord's chosen, the Christ, the only one worthy to carry our sins and bring us back to God. Remember the strong arm, the carrying arm? And we have joy because he's also the Lord. He's not just the chosen one. He is God. Those are gospel basics. But in Luke, they are a challenge to us as well. Here's the challenge. Are we going to try and find our Savior and our salvation in something in this world, something within ourselves? I honestly cannot help but think of the NHS in these days. Is that the functional Savior of many in the world? Do they worship the NHS? Do you remember the clapping? I'm not against clapping. But there's something of the psyche there, wasn't there? That's where we put our worship. That's this world. Or do we join the shepherds and the angels in their joy because Christ is the Savior, the one, the Lord? That's an important question. Don't let that get away from you this week. When something goes wrong in your day or your life, do you turn to yourself or are you driven to pray? When the news and the telly scares you or makes you question humanity or makes you frustrated, do you sigh? Do you roll your eyes? Do you bang your fist? Do you give up on the world? Or do we pray that God would save it through many coming to Christ? On Christmas morning, will we receive the gifts that we think we don't deserve, or maybe we think we do? Or will we make ourselves think of the gift that we really don't deserve, God's own Son? Remember the carrying arm, the strong arm? You need to be carried. Look at the response of the shepherds. When they hear the news, they go in search of Jesus, and it says, when they had seen him, they spread the word. And that's a challenge that speaks by itself, doesn't it? To those who have come to know Jesus, have we been spreading the word? Even as the shepherds were doing this, they were praising, glorifying, praising God for all the things they'd heard and seen. What great news, what a great response from these angels and these shepherds. See how Luke changes the shepherds? They're not suspicious. They're now integral to teaching you and I what Christmas is all about. And that means the other response to this story is ours. We're nearly done. Sometimes our responses to God are shallow. We can hear the story. It's well known. It's well loved. We love seeing it with the children. But we might respond then in a small way. Perhaps this week we will think of the shepherds, think of our own unworthiness, but also our great privilege to hear from God. That's a good thing to do. You can do that this week, but I'll tell you a secret. It won't last very long. There'll be something else for you to think about next week. There'll be something else to ponder. Something else will happen that will get you off your Christmas thoughts. So what do we need? What do we do? Well, God points us to the right responses to him. God doesn't turn up and say, hey, look at this thing, over to you. He says, look at this thing and I'll tell you what to do. Because if it's all true, if God has broken into history in the child of Bethlehem, if he saved us from death, then our response cannot just be about ourselves. It has to be about him. We'll go back to Isaiah. Listen to Isaiah for what we're saved from, and listen to the joy of this. Listen for what you're to do next when you hear the good news. Think of the unworthy shepherds and what they did, and then have a think about yourself. I'll do that too. Here's what it says. In that day, you will say, I will praise you, Lord. Although you were angry with me, your anger has turned away, and you have comforted me. Surely God is my salvation. That's what Jesus means. I will trust and not be afraid. The Lord himself is my strength and my defense. He has become my salvation. With joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation. In that day, you will say, give praise to the Lord. Proclaim his name. Share his name. Make him known among the nations for what he has done. Proclaim that his name is exalted. Sing to the Lord, for he has done glorious things. Let this be known to all the world. Shout aloud. Sing for joy, people of Zion. For great is the Holy One of Israel among you. That's Christmas, isn't it? The good news and a good response. Folks, keep your eyes on God this Christmas. What has he done? And when you're blessed to see it, don't get bogged down in how you'll respond. Follow the angels, follow the shepherds, and praise the Holy One of Israel for how he has responded to us. Does the child in Bethlehem make you want to leap to your feet and go see him? Does his coming make you want to sing and shout for glory to God? Are we keen to point others to the great and joyful news? Are we truly joyful, happy, and content because we trust in the Lord? Thank God for the shepherds. They show us the way. Shall I pray for us? Let's pray. Father, set us to the work of the shepherds in spreading the great and joyful news of Jesus, who has come and will come again. Until then, keep us in your care. Give us a childlike wonder in having a father as good and loving as you, with those strong shepherd arms. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.